الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها إن الإنسان لظلوم كفار صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama ikram, beloved elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted our du'as before the month of Ramadan had commenced. We had mentioned the du'a, Allahumma sallimni li Ramadan, sallim Ramadan li, wa sallimhu li mutakabbala. This du'a had three parts. The first part was, oh Allah, spare me for Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spared us for most of the Ramadan. We are all here, safe and sound, our body, our environment. Second part of the dua was, وَسَلِّمْهُ لِي سَلِّمِ رَمَضَانَ لِي O Allah, keep Ramadan with us. We are here, and when Ramadan comes, keep Ramadan with us, meaning this, that we take advantage of the month of Ramadan. We are here, the month of Ramadan comes, but it just passes away, no. اللهم سلمني رمضان وسلم الرمضان لي safeguard Ramadan for me so that I can participate in the program that we have scheduled for us, the fasting, the tilawat, and the taraweeh, etc. And I can get maximum reward and I can take advantage. I can make capitalize on this opportunity that you have granted me, not knowing whether I'll get this opportunity again or I won't get it again. So give me the tawfiq to maximize my participation and exertion in your obedience. Now here we find that the extremely pious people realize this dua, and this portion of the dua, right till the last moment of Ramadan, they are trying to aspiring to exert themselves to gain the benefit and to get the maximum amount of reward. Yet we find some people, Ramadan, 10 days are gone, Ramadan to khatam ho gaye, they say. Ramadan is gone. In other words, the spirits are already low. From the first 10 days, spirits are low, Ramadan is gone already, going so fast, you know, it's gone. Person hardly feels they're going to the masjid for taraweeh, salat, etc. Doesn't exert himself, why? Because he did that already in the first 10 days or first 5 days, etc. And he feels now Ramadan is going, Ramadan is gone. After another 10 days, you find another amount of people who are saying Ramadan is finished now, only a few days left and then Ramadan will be over. In other words, soon Ramadan will be finished. In other words, there isn't much spirit now left for this person to exert himself and to look forward now for those days. I had mentioned initially also that the greatest portion of Ramadan is the last portion of Ramadan. When we are already looking towards the Eid, you know, and the people are looking at the Eid shopping and the Eid moon already 10 days beforehand, people are already anticipating certain day plans have been made, etc. That is the main part of Ramadan. And obviously when it comes to like today, when we'll be only one more fast, maybe Allah knows best, then virtually all of us, Allah forgive me, and all of us, Ramadan is finished. Ramadan is over. Ramadan is not over. The main portion of Ramadan is still left. Tonight is the 29th night of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that you should look for Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights. Tonight is an odd night. Tonight could be the night that is better than 1,000 months, in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So can we say Ramadan is gone? No, the most valuable part of Ramadan is still here. It is an odd night. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that every day at the time of iftar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees 1,000,000 souls who are already deserving to go into the fire of Jahannam. And on the last day, that is tomorrow, if tomorrow is the last day, at the time of iftar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees the total amount of people that he had freed from the beginning of the month. That is 28 million people. Tomorrow is the last day. 28 million people at the time of iftar will be freed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fire of Jahannam. So that is more valuable. The time of iftar of the last day is more valuable than the time of iftar of all the days, but in fact I would say it's equivalent to all the days of iftar. The virtue of all the days of iftar, the last day is equivalent to that, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that all those people Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had emancipated and freed from the fire of Jahannam, all that amount will be freed tomorrow on the last day of iftar. In light of one hadith we understand, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that there are 5 favors given to this ummah, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says they will be paid. They will be paid on the last night for their services that they have done. So the companions asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, will bet thee be the Laylatul Qadr? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, it won't be Laylatul Qadr, it will be the last night of Ramadan. And it's only proper that when a person renders his services, then he gets paid fully when his services are over. That could be tonight, the last night. And according to another hadith, that Laylatul Jaiza, that is the night of Eid, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives and repays and gives sawab and reward for those people that have made effort. So how can we say that Ramadan is over? Even these few moments of Ramadan are so valuable, and I would say they are maybe the most valuable. And those calling that comes out from the skies every night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands a caller from the skies and says, who is there that begs something from me that I may grant him? Who is there that seeks my repentance so I may grant him mercy? Who is there that seeks my forgiveness so that I may grant him forgiveness? This is mentioned every night, and it will be mentioned tonight as well. So we should not become so lax and just say now that Ramadan is over. No, sometimes a person, he exerts himself on the last night and he gains the maximum. Look at a business person, he's sitting there on the 24th, or especially in the Islamic countries, the Eid namaz is about to start. The businessman is still sitting with his doors open. Maybe there's a last minute customer is coming here, that takings may be the maximum takings. He may buy the most from me, sitting in anticipation for worldly reward, for worldly enumeration, for worldly benefit. So we should be sitting in enumeration for the world ukhrawi rewards and the rewards from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recall in the days of the Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah, especially on the last day, from the Asr Salat up to the Maghrib Salat, some brothers used to sit down and making dua and istighfar right from Asr Salat right up to Maghrib Salat. Why? This is the last moments now of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, at the time of iftar, that amount of people are free from the fire of Jahannam, that are free for the entire month. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to me there. So we should not be lax and say now Ramadan is over, and don't have that zeal and enthusiasm towards Ramadan. No, we should exert ourselves even more, concentrate our wife and children even more, that we still have valuable days and valuable moments of the month of Ramadan. And the third portion of the dua was, وَسَلِّمْ هُلِي مُتَقَبِّلًا, that, O Allah, safeguard it in such a manner that it is accepted in your court. And this is the most vital part of the dua that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan comes, we are paid for Ramadan, Ramadan is paid for us, we do so our actions in the month of Ramadan, but Allah forbid if it is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of what use are those actions? And this not only for the month of Ramadan, for every single action that we carry out, we should be highly concerned about the acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should fear looking at the quality of the action, and at the same time we should have great hope in the mercy and kindness and generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at it at merit, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His mercy will accept that action. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he leaves Syria, a green and lush land, a most fertile land, and he comes and migrates to Makkah al-Mukarramah. He leaves his wife and children in a barren land, and every order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given to him, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam fulfills, even to the extent of slaughtering his son, he's prepared to do it. And then when he's commanded to construct the Baytullah, and it's mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes and shows him the details of where and how to construct the Baytullah. After he does this, the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after constructing the Baytullah, says, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Can we doubt the sincerity of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Can we doubt the integrity of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Can we doubt the maqam of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? But yet, a lesson for the ummah, a lesson for the humanity at large, that there is no action, no matter what sacrifice we may do, that can match the majesty and glory and greatness and grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah, and we are makhloob. So whatever action we carry out, thereafter we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have this worry in our hearts that, oh Allah, you through your infinite mercy, accept this amal of mine. No matter how much we must have exerted ourselves, but I'm sure nobody can stand up and say that I have made maximum use of every moment and every second of Ramadan. Definitely there may be shortcomings from our side, and there are shortcomings from our side. And at the same time, our actions may not be matching the grandeur and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should have hope in the zaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the acceptance of our amal. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has strengthened us in many, many qualities. The first quality that a mu'min has is this, that we are all Muslims and we surrender before the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single mu'min and mu'mina, maybe we can safely say that this quality of submission had come alive and strong and developed in the month of Ramadan. The iftar today, maybe 5:34 or 5:35. Yesterday it was 5:34. The day before it must have been 5:33. No mu'min will, even that 1 minute, will compromise and say, no, that I will make iftar 1 minute earlier than what it is supposed to be done. No person will make his sehri 1 minute later than what is supposed to be done. Why? Because it submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Soon as Subah Sadiq starts, your roza starts. As soon as ghurub is done and the sun sets, that's the time your roza is finished. So here, when it comes to following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all of us submit as far as this is concerned. Similarly, when it comes to Eid day, the Eid day will come irrespective of the great advantages and sawabs and benefit of fasting. There's a special door in Jannat, Rayyan, for those people that fast, but no person will fast on the day of Eid. Why? Because it's not the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we submit and we accept. We don't apply our intelligence and say, no, one more day here we can get sawab for fasting. No, it's not the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we don't fast. And like that, if you look at all this quality of submission in the month of Ramadan, it is at its peak. It is at its peak. Why? Because we find when it comes to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing stops us. Person gets up much more earlier than normal. But now comes the time of Fajr Salat, he ensures, hook or crook, he comes to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and carries out his Salat. He is out there in his business place in the time of Zuhar, and he looks at his watch in the time of Zuhar comes. It's the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I submit to the order, the tools are down, and we're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time of iftar now, person is hungry, but he's sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, opening his fast here. Even if he's opening the fast in the house, we feel him hurrying and rushing and coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of salat. After a long day of staying hungry, a person eats. Sometimes a person tends to overeat. Now you're feeling sluggish to come to the masjid, but no, it's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to be there not only for my Isha salat, but 20 more rakats. 20 more extra rakats in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, person comes and ensures that he's here. No person, so many you find, ordinary person, sometimes not even a musalli, not even a regular musalli, but when it comes to the month of Ramadan, I don't want to miss my taraweeh. I don't want to miss one rakat of taraweeh. I want to ensure that I'm there. The spirit of submission to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at its peak in the month of Ramadan. And similarly, we find the patience and endurance and perseverance also in the heart of the mu'min is at its peak. As I mentioned, sometimes a person misses his sehri, but yet, no, he will undergo the hardship and the pangs of hunger throughout the day. He may be far away. It takes him time and effort, sometimes a concerted effort, to make it in time for his salat. He will undergo that patiently. He will have to stand here. Sometimes his bones are weak, or he is weak, he's fatigued, or he's in age, etc. But he will say, no, I will sit there for the taraweeh salat, or I will stand there for the taraweeh salat, for the right up to the last day, and I will not miss one taraweeh also. So we find that enduring endurance, and we find perseverance and patiently enduring the difficulties and hardships in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this sifat and this quality also becomes alive and becomes strong in the heart of every mu'min and every mu'mina. And similarly, the quality of sincerity we find is at its peak. A person sincerely fasts only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not seek any remuneration or any reward from any person. And he does not go around normally advertising his fasting and advertising his ibadat, etc. It's done only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are great qualities that are developed in the month of Ramadan. And it's a pity sometimes what happens due to an oversight. When the month of Ramadan goes, then all these qualities, all this effort and all this training that had taken place in the month of Ramadan, that qualities also subside. The qualities also begin to fall. And we find that submission is not there like it was in the month of Ramadan. So this is like a training for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has programmed this month for us so that we train ourselves and we become submit those servants that submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become those people that endure the hardships and difficulty in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become those people that are sincere to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we should be very vigilant. The time of Eid comes does not mean now everything is permissible for us, like the Christians and the non-Muslims, etc. For them, when the time of the day of celebration comes, then they do everything under the sun. They regard that as a day of festivity, day of happiness, and everything goes loose. And a person does whatever he wants to know. A mu'min, the halal things were made haram for us, prohibited for us in the month of Ramadan. Now those halal things are made permissible for us in the month of Ramadan, so that potential that we had built up in the month of Ramadan to stay away from haram, that remains there. So we should be very vigilant when it comes to a celebration of our Eid also. It should not be done in a manner where we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we find the women folk were in parda the whole month, and now we find them open with their styles and walking around outside, with mixing with grey mahram people and not observing the burqa and the parda, etc., that they used to observe. We used to come to the masjid and show that we should bring our children also, and we should exhort them to read the salat, etc. On the day of Eid, even we are lax as far as the salat is concerned. If you look at our spirit of Eid is this, that there should be more adherence, there should be more obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have extra salat on the day of Eid to show that our Eid means that we should be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the day of Eid, when a person is obedient and gains the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we have the Sadaqatul Fitr before that, we have the Eid, we have the Takbirat, etc. on the day of Eid. Additional worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than the normal days. So we should not be lax, and we should not become like those people. Our masajid are filled, mashallah, the barakah of Ramadan, the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should pass some resolutions now in our life that inshallah, as far as my daily five daily salat is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his tawfiq, has given me that potential to fulfill this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under all circumstances. When I can stay hungry and get up early and sleep late, and then I can still come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why can't I make it to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under normal circumstances, when I'm allowed to eat, when I get a full night's rest, etc. So we should make this solemn pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should pass a resolution with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, like you have guided me in the month of Ramadan, guide me out of the month of Ramadan, so that we reach from one level of spiritual to the spirituality to the next level of spirituality. Doesn't happen that with the crescent of the Shawwal and the crescent of the Eid, everything of all our efforts are gone and wiped away, and we don't see that person again right up to the next Ramadan. No. We should make that intention, we should make that pledge. It's like a person going to a training ground, he's trained for something to do. When the real test comes, the acid test comes after the training is over, that person is a failure, he's not there in the Maidan. Similarly here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has let us go through this course, and alhamdulillah, most of us, with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has carried out our fasting. We have read our Taraweeh Salat. We have read additional Quran Pak. We have made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have made more charity than normal. Now all these traits and all these noble characteristics are already developed in us. We just have to maintain them there with a little bit of vigilance, to be a little bit of more careful, and just to ensure and check whether these qualities are there. We should make a firm pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah this salah, this obedience, this zikr, this tilawat, this remembering you, this dua, oh Allah, through your mercy you have granted to us, we will sustain it and we will keep it even in the month of Ramadan. Then we will find that inshallah every Ramadan will become such a means of our spiritual upliftment. From one Ramadan to another Ramadan, we find that people being elevated from one stage to another stage of the month of, through the month of Ramadan. And this is the real barakat of Ramadan. That is why Mashaykh mentioned that if you look after this Ramadan, then inshallah the barakat of this entire of this month of Ramadan will remain with the people right even after Ramadan. And there were such people that their lives in Ramadan and out of Ramadan were similar. Out of Ramadan and in Ramadan, they were similar. They used to be fasting, they used to be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi writes a very interesting story about in the Fazail al-Salat about one person, Abu Amir, who had gone to the marketplace in those days and he had purchased a slave woman. He had saw a slave woman that was for sale there. She was very weak, extraordinary, unusually weak and lean, and she was very dirty, etc. He bought her for a cheap price. And when he brought her home, he told her that tomorrow you will have to come with me to the marketplace to do some shopping for Ramadan, to go and do buying for Ramadan. What was the answer she gave to him? She said, alhamdulillah, to me all the days of the year are like Ramadan. I fast every day of the year, and every day I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the days are like Ramadan to me, and all the nights are like Ramadan to me, because I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer. Thereafter, he said, he tells her that the day when Eid was approaching early, then he said, you have to come with me and we'll have to go do some buying for Eid. She told him that you are very inclined towards the dunya. You are very much inclined towards the dunya. Thereafter, she goes into her room, she starts her salat, and she begins to recite the Holy Quran. She is reciting Surah Ibrahim, and when she comes across this verse where it's mentioned the condition of the disbelievers are mentioned, that before them will be the fire of Jahannam and they will be given the boiling water to drink. She begins to repeat this over and over again, and thereafter she gives a cry and falls down and passes away. These are also servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who came into this world, had material needs, etc. They also had to go through Ramadan, go through the Eid, etc. But this was the spirit of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every day was like the day of Ramadan. And every night was like the night of Ramadan. And when she was invited to go around shopping for the Eid for her master, she said, "The master, you are very much inclined towards the dunya." And there she stands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reciting these verses, she's so touched with these verses that she recites and recites. Can you imagine? One must have gone through her heart and mind, and she falls down dead there out of the fear of the fire of Jahannam that is mentioned here, or the azab of Jahannam that is mentioned here for the kuffar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this Mubarak month, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us from one level to another level. And it's for us now to see that we remain there and try and increase. And together with that also, that if you want any ni'mat to be increasing in the court of Allah, then the golden rule is, وَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will definitely increase your ni'mat. And the gratefulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be this, that this potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, we appreciate that potential and we maintain it and we develop it further and we see that it remains with us and we are busy engaged in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised also the levels of taqwa in every person. The potential to stay away from evil, alhamdulillah, in every one of us has increased in the month of Ramadan. It was easy to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and very easy for us to fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this level of taqwa should be enhanced even further, should be developed even further by frequenting the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by frequenting the majalis, by majalis of the ulama and the mashayikh, and going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and safeguarding this potential, or safeguarding this taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, so that we become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we become deserving of all the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised in the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and guidance. One of the du'as of the Sahaba when he is to meet on the day of Eid was also taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us and accepts from you. They were concerned about the aspect of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mentioned once about Umar radiallahu anhu, when everybody was rejoicing, he was sitting and crying and weeping. Somebody asked him, what is the reason? He says, I do not know if all this is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be greatly concerned about the aspect of acceptance, about the aspect of acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Like the Sahaba kiram, when they used to meet each other, they used to make this dua, taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum, may Allah accept from us, and may Allah accept from you. And as I mentioned, if everything is done without the acceptance in the court of Allah, then it is zero and sifar, is equal to nothing. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all the shortcomings that we have, all the faults that we have, all the oversight that occurred in our ibadat, if it is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our work is done and then everything is there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.